Hey, hey.
Got now, I don't chill, got next. Got now, I don't chill, got next. Got now, I don't chill, got next. Got next. Got next. Got now, I don't chill, got next.
Greetings and salutations. Welcome back to the Who Got Next podcast. This is your host, E-Dub. We are back with another show. This week, I am going to talk about, well, we're going to change it up. I know I'm always saying Who Got Next to Charlotte, but we're really going to talk about, hell, shit, what Charlotte got next. So that's the conversation that I would like to have today. I decided to bring in two individuals that are in real estate. We have Tony in here. He's a real estate agent. And then we also have Joy Bailey, who is a mortgage loan officer, a.k.a. mortgage boss, right?
Yes.
Okay, okay. And the reason why I wanted to bring these two in here, because I think they both could talk about, you know, what's going on in Charlotte from two different spectrums. You know, one realtor, he's actually my realtor. He helped me get my place a year ago. And trust me, we had a lot of conversations about the inventory. And if you're listening to this podcast now, the inventory here is trash. let's keep it a buck. It is, right?
It's not, depending upon
your price.
Right. So they're giving you the professional answer. So I'm giving you the other answer. It can be trash at times, but depending on how you work it out, there is still opportunity for you, correct?
Yes, there it is. It's always a good time if you're ready, as Joe would say.
If you're ready, not much wiggle room. You know, but if you're ready, like I said, me and him had conversations last year and I had to change my whole outlook on what it was I was looking for and where I wanted to go. But he was able to help me out with that. So that's his job, you know, and we decided to bring in another component. She is a native of Charlotte and we can just kind of talk about the everlasting changes of Charlotte, what's going on. And she's going to give you that, you know, from that perspective. So we just want to have a great conversation. So first of all, how both of you all are doing?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. Had a chance to meet you last week just off the cuff, just out there chilling.
Completely coincidental because Charlotte's not that big.
It's not that many places
to hang out. So
exactly, but it was nice meeting you for the first time. Yeah, first time then. So how's the pandemic be treating both of you?
Oh, the pandemic was like the bandemic is what everybody is calling. If you in real estate, listen, if you didn't make money last year, you better move on and find something else to do because it's crazy out there. Mortgages was going crazy last year. Realtors, they were selling beyond their wildest dreams last year. And buyers got a wake-up call. My favorite thing to say is stay ready so you don't got to get ready. Because if you wasn't ready before, baby, you ain't ready now.
Go a little bit more into detail with that. So when you say that, you know, buyers got a wake-up call, give me some examples of what, you know, was the oh shit moment for them.
Oh, the oh shit moment became when the people from California moved to Charlotte and kept they Google paying jobs. And when the people from New York came down and they kept their high paying jobs. And we sitting here with our $65,000 Bank of America job. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you know, and it literally, I promise, like COVID flipped the switch. Interest rates went as low as they have ever been historically. Mm-hmm. So now you have people that are entering into a market that they sold a $1 million house, moved here. They could buy two or three of our little houses that's twice as big, you know? So, I mean, it wasn't much room left over for, you know, a teacher or, you know, just like a regular person.
A regular resident here in Charlotte.
Yeah. It wasn't much left over because, you know, we want to. 5-bedroom house for $200,000. So, no, when that happened, it changed the game in Charlotte. Believe it or not, next year our conforming loan limit in Charlotte's gonna be over $600,000.
I think that's it though. So the people that move, they didn't have. How can you from Charlotte? So you won't move certain places because you remember what used to be.
That's
people
right.
from New York. They don't have any issues about moving to this place because they like what it looks like now. Right? Mm-hmm. So they don't have the preconceived notions and it costs what? Oh, that's it?
That's it.
Right, I'm writing my check. So they're ready. They cash ready.
Give me two of them. I take the one next door as well.
And they might not even move in for another 12 months. They putting their money down today because they know it's available. They like the location. It's going to work out for them.
And even with that, you know, a lot of what I have seen, heard, they're buying sight unseen. So it's like they're not even, they don't care. They just know that they're getting out of wherever they're at. The job is going remote. Oh, shit, I can finally leave and don't have to come back into the office. So, yeah, let me go ahead and get the hell up out of here.
Mm-hmm. My neighbor, three doors down, they moved from D.C. Him and his well, they actually about to get married in like 2 weeks. But him and his fiance, he works for an insurance company. He works remote.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, they picked their house out via FaceTime. Her mom lives in Lake Norman area. She came and she's seen it. And she said, hey, y'all want to put an offer in today?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to be gone in the morning. Basically, put an offer in, and they got it. They right. never came to Charlotte. They never seen the inside of the house. Literally, his mother-in-law came in the house, FaceTimed them, and they put an offer in.
And got it.
Got it.
And that's crazy. Like I said, we was talking about, you know, how the market is just, you know, it hasn't been the best for, you know, some people who are looking. And I can speak for myself, you know, when you and I were in there looking, I mean, you gave me the warning. You said, look, inventory isn't that great, but we're going to do, you know, we're going to make sure that you get what you're looking for. You know, so I go in there, look at a spot, and then the first thing I say is, let me go back and think about it.
Oh, that's cute. That was cute.
Yeah, It was.
You only got to do it one or two times, and then you're like, okay, I'm not going to think about it too long.
It was, and that's exactly what
happened. Yeah, impulse buy.
That's exactly what happened. So it was like, all right, I think about it. He'd be like, all right, man, it'll probably be like an hour or two later. Hey, man. Right.
Oh, that person right behind you, the one that you passed, and you was like, oh, excuse me, bought your house.
Probably.
That's what happened.
Probably. So, you know, after hearing that twice, I changed up everything. Like, my attitude changed, and what I wanted had to change. You know, I just knew I wasn't going back to where I was going. I said, we're gonna figure this out. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly what happened. But, you know, just hearing all my other friends or whoever else just looking, they're going through the same thing. And I'm like, look, man, I don't know what to tell you. You know, I think one had 10 offers and just got them all rejected to the point where they're like, you know what, forget this.
The buyer fatigue.
Yeah, they said they're done. They're like, they're done. They said they'll go back. Which is going to be crazy because you're going to go back into it again and it's going to be even worse because the price is going to skyrocket. And I know I had to get myself out of that mindset after, hell, even when I closed, I was still just, you know, still kind of looking, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, this is crazy. So with that being said, just being in Charlotte, because this emphasis is on Charlotte. You are from Charlotte. Just talk about some of the, and I want to talk about from a culture standpoint first, like the nuances of the culture in Charlotte or where you've been at. Like, to me personally, I don't know what you would consider what side culturally invested. I would look at one point Noda and Plaza Midwood, but that's South End too. I'm gonna say South End to an extent, and South End looks like Little South Park.
Asheville,
okay, Asheville. So how have you seen the changes prior to you getting into the industry, and how you look at it now? Being in the industry and with all the changes in Charlotte now?
I mean, every place that you just named existed by a different name 15 years ago.
Okay.
I left Charlotte in 2001 to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't an uptown nightlife. The lights went off at 5 p.m. The Eckerd, y'all remember Eckerd?
Oh, yeah.
Eckerd closed and didn't open up again until Monday at 8 a.m. No reason to go uptown whatsoever.
So Eckerd was uptown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had, you know, little stuff so people that worked uptown would be able to go and, you know, pick up little things or whatever. But okay. There was no let's go to this high-end restaurant. There was no Ritz-Carlton.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the Charlotte Hornets game. Like, none of that. None of that. You lived uptown, you were at Earl Village. You were you were in, that was, it just, it was transitioning very slowly, but somewhere after like 2005, 2006, after the housing crisis, when these high-rise apartments that were once supposed to be condominiums. I think maybe The View, and that halted for a while. So now all of a sudden you have people that, oh, well, I'll move uptown. And that landscape completely changed because they tried to centralize things. And so as the market rebounded, things went up. These investors went and bought in that cheap land. I mean, you know, after the foreclosure, they were like, okay, I'll take this, you know, and they've built it up. A great example that you could see of how things have changed is Chicken Coop. The Chicken Coop has been around my entire life. I was almost borderline depressed when they said they were going to close. What you mean?
You like Chicken Coop?
I like it. What do you mean? Okay. Love it. But, I mean, that's a perfect example. When we went to Chicken Coop, it was gravel parking lots readily available anywhere you want to park. But now you got hawkers, restaurants, and you got the, I don't know what that building is. It's right there. It's pretty tall. Like, I think it's apartments or something on top. But, I mean, none that didn't exist. And consequently, we could see that every space around Chicken Coop was being built. They were eventually going to be priced out. Period. So that's a great example of how the landscape has changed in just, like I said, like 15 years, you know?
I heard a little rumor. I don't know how true it is. I don't know if you and me and you, Tony, talked about this. The owner of Price's Chicken Coop, if I'm correct, what I heard was that the owner had owned a lot of that land between there and all the way up to West Boulevard. Correct?
Yeah, we talked about that.
Okay. Yeah, so whoever it was, I guess to him, prices, it wasn't worth it. You know, it wasn't worth trying to keep it open, which kind of made sense because if what I heard, a lot of people who worked there back in the day was in that Wilmore area, you know, Wilmore area. So now to the point where they had to be, you know, bust in, and it wasn't making no sense to keep it open. But I get it, you know, because that was like really the only last old spot in that area. And I was a mainstay at Food Truck Fridays, you know, but I saw it coming. I said, man, this space can't, the way everything is going, I said, this place ain't going to stay butt naked for long.
It just didn't look like it belonged.
It stuck out like a sore thumb, you know? So to me, that was the last bit of the culture to me in South End outside of Fat Burrito gone. And now you got Flower Child.
Yeah, it's gone as well. Yeah.
It's just, everything is gone. I was uptown last night. Well, not uptown. I was in South End last night. Get something to eat, and I went to the Eagle. It is crazy how when I was parking, I thought about the last party I went to at the Ice House. like, and I think before the Ice House, it was another name. I cannot remember the name. Who? Common was in there. Common and Q-Tip was in there. And that's when, I think that was at the time when Soulja Boy Crank That just popped out. So that was... Again, I'm 40, but I remember this moment because I moved to Charlotte in 2007. So I remember all of this, and I just look over there like, man, I remember being out here and Common and Q-Tip was in this party, and these niggas was outside fighting. Fight about something, and I just remember parking over there on that side where Luna Kitchen is, and I don't even think it was Luna Kitchen, and it was something else, I don't know. It is just crazy how just all of that just looks different now, man, just in the past 15 years. I know you said when it probably changed. I'm going to say 2006.
Yeah.
2006, because I remember when, and I'm not trying to equate it to it, but I remember because CIAA had just moved to Charlotte. And that's at the time when you couldn't drive anywhere uptown because they was building. So they were building like that. It's like when, as soon as they said CIAA was coming, it's like people downtown, they said, all right, it's time to get things popping. No different from when All-Star came and they halted it. And they started building stuff up. There were so many hotels that they had to put here for the All-Star.
But that was the vision. That was the vision. That's why they had to move stuff. Like, but, I mean, historically, that's what we do in Charlotte. You know, like, Tony, you're from New York. You all have history. You are hard-pressed to find anything that's over 50 years old in Charlotte. I mean, down to the mall. Like, you are hard-pressed. Like, I think Park Road Shopping Center was the first shopping center in Charlotte, first strip mall area in Charlotte, Park Road. Okay, they held on to that. Like, it's a pretty nice area now, but, I mean.
And they've changed that up.
We don't care about history in Charlotte. Yeah. We don't care about history in Charlotte. It was a African-American hospital that sits on the site of where the Panthers play right now. If you go there, you'll see there's a memorial plaque that's up that identifies that as a space for the black hospital that Charlotte used to have. We don't hold on to anything. So when you start talking about changes and things like that, that's just that's who Charlotte is and has always been. Like, before we went on air, I was telling Tony, like, yeah, we have an identity crisis.
And yeah, and I'll stop you there because, like, one of the questions that I always ask on a podcast is the identity of Charlotte. You know, is there one? Was there one? And that's why I like to talk to the natives. Like, you know, I still have friends that I'm real cool with that are natives as well. And we talk all the time. And I hear their frustration. And I hear how they think about it because it's like, okay, where's the preservation in it? You know, there's like, there isn't any. And the little bit of things that are still kind of hanging on by a thread, there's no way to keep it because they're going to come in and shut that down. So just hearing them talk about it all the time, which is what made me raise the question, because everything here is just brand spanking new. So even when you go into these neighborhoods and you're looking at these homes, either they're gone or they're revamping it and they're making it look way more modern, you know, way more modern now, which is crazy. So how did Charlotte get to being one of the top five fastest growing cities outside of every other city in the United States? Why Charlotte?
So Charlotte is in a good location. So if you think about it, from South Carolina is not far. So we have beaches 2 hours away, 2.5 hours away, right? Mm-hmm. We got mountains not far away in Asheville, right? So it's a great location. A lot of companies want to be here because it's an easy flight. So anywhere pretty much on the East Coast, you can be there in 2 hours on a flight, direct flight. Charlotte's a hub for American Airlines, obviously really big. If you have a company and you need to get goods by train, you can do that. Train comes through here pretty much. So from a business perspective, it's a great place to be. Mm-hmm. Obviously, second biggest banking hub or one of the second biggest, largest banking hubs in the U.S., obviously that helps. Mm-hmm. I see a different bank coming up on every corner, it seems like, Fifth Third. I feel like they're in every neighborhood right now.
Yeah.
So that's probably a stock tip, too, if you want to get stocks. but seriously, those are a lot of things that led to the draw. Obviously, when you have an all-star, you have things like that, you make it more recreational, so people are looking for cities like that. Mm-hmm. But again, if you live in California or New York, you're also looking for somewhere where you can get some land. You get it relatively cheap. So what we're now paying, the prices are going up now, but beforehand, if you live in New York, one, you just can't buy a house. Like, it's not realistic to own a house. Mm-hmm. You may have a brownstone, which you would have got really cheap, maybe in 1991, right? But today, you couldn't buy it because it's a couple million dollars, right? So if you realistically want to live a house, you're going to move to the South. Mm-hmm. Where is the South, but it's not overcrowded yet? There's still room for growth. Charlotte, right? Atlanta, of course, is still Atlanta, but you don't necessarily want to move there if you're looking for opportunity for growth. You can go there because it's already popping. You're kind of in your lane, right? So you got that comparison, of course, Charlotte to Atlanta a lot, but it depends on what you're looking for from a quality of life perspective. But Charlotte's a perfect place. That's one of the reasons why I moved here. So in my opinion, it has a lot of good things from that perspective. And if you're not a native, you can make your mark, right? So that's pretty cool, too. Whereas you don't have to necessarily, you got to study under this person forever. Like, if I wanted to run for mayor in a couple of years, I probably could do it, right? Mm-hmm. I probably could do it. I don't know if you had that family.
Yeah. Like, yeah, so not, my great-granddaddy. And
I can't think of the word that is. But, yeah, you don't have that kind of, you have to wait behind certain people to kind of get that look. So it's definitely a growing city. It's opportunity. So people love opportunity. And, again, relatively cheap.
And one thing, let me just jump in here. Y'all, I don't know who's listening, where y'all are. Charlotte is a real live city. We do not have dirt roads. I don't know why people think that we're this country bumpkin town. It is a real place. We have real athletes. I'm just saying, NFL, we got NBA. We already have the soccer team. It's a whole live city, and it just blows me when people, D.C., they think they so northern. And they kill, they don't y'all got dirt roads down here? First of all, no. I don't understand that. It blows my mind. Charlotte is a real city. I mean, get into it.
But you don't have dirt roads, but you have a lot of trees, right? So you think, obviously you're from here, but I know you probably know before people started going to Concord, right? You remember where it was just trees. Like, I'm sure you remember that, right?
Well, you do know that's a part of, like, in order to be able to build, like, there's like a canopy ordinance or something. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so much space that has to be trees.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It has to be. So, I mean, yeah, we do preserve the land. We want it to look aesthetically pleasing, you know. But Jesus, y'all, it's a real city.
And that's the contradiction, that the fact that they want to preserve that, but don't they don't want to preserve the actual buildings and, you know, yeah, the things that really made Charlotte what, you know, made Charlotte what it was. You know, shout out to Wilmo. Everybody know who Wilmo is. You know, and it was crazy how I went on that. I finally had went on the walk and talk in McCrory Heights. And just listening to all that information that him and, I forgot the other guy's name, I apologize, give all that information about everything that was around it as far as, you know, African Americans. That was the only area that they could buy in. And just hearing, oh, Nina Simone, piano teacher, was right there. Oh, this is, I forgot the guy's name. This is the house that got bombed. It's crazy when you hear all these things, and those are the things that they really are trying to, you know, one of his biggest components is, you know, he want to let people know, look, I live, you know, this is the area that I wanted to, you know, raise my family in, and you all can, you know, you all can too. So that was a part, you know, that was a part of it. But unfortunately, but a lot of us are just really not thinking that when we're thinking of a home, we're thinking of Steel Creek, we're thinking of building, you know, we're thinking of building, we're thinking of things like that. You know, we're not going, and hell, even probably those houses over there are high, you know, are high now. So it's like, what do you do?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a mindset thing, though, right? So we in general, not just us in Charlotte, or people have, you know, the gentrification talks versus, you know, the revitalization, et cetera. Mm. We typically want the shiny thing, right? We don't want to go and build and kind of wait and, you know, force equity, right?
Right.
But our friends, they will basically show up and they know that it's coming, right? And the signs are there. Betty Ford Road is about to be crazy, right? With the light rail extension going up that way. It's a Chase Bank on Betty
right,
Ford.
Right.
Like, it's about to be crazy, right? So, but again, a lot of people still not going ready to move there. They're going to wait till it's a few more condos there, or a few more, and it's going to be too late at that point because, oh, it's so expensive, is what everybody's going to say. But if you can go right now, but you don't want to live there, right? Because
right.
It's Betty Ford, I want to live there. So you gotta choose your battle, right? Do you want to be there and be a part of the culture? Right, and you get the equity and things like that, or do you want to wait until it's too late and then complain about, well, what it became and you didn't have a say in it? So you got to choose.
True. So you got to get in where you have to get in where you fit in and take that, you know, take that risk and make that sacrifice. I know Johnson C. Smith. I'm gonna speak on behalf of all 107 HBCUs. So I can't speak. I'm gonna speak from a point of all of the ones that I've seen so far. Yes, we all know that most HBCUs are quote unquote in the hood, right? Some part of the hood
close by
are close by, right? But when I think about my school, Fayetteville State, so much has changed. Still could, right? A&T.
Aggie Pride.
A&T had this hood going through the school at one point in time.
Relax.
That's what I'm about to say. That's what I'm about to say. I'm not talking shit. I'm not talking shit at all, but I'm just talking about how you went to A&T at one point. There was a damn neighborhood in the middle of the school
that split it,
right? So then you go down Market Street, aka what, Gate City? Is it Gate City now?
No, that's High Point.
High Point. Okay, well, around that area where all of that has changed, because again, I moved to Greensboro for 3 years. I moved to Greensboro from 2004 to 2007. So I was there when the changes started, like the changes at A&T started popping. Like my man, I forgot the president of the chancellor's name, but he was the one that he got it moving. Like everything he did, he got moving, and now is what you see today. Could I consider that part of the A&T hood now? Mm-hmm. Hell no. But I remember when it was there, like going down to Bennett and stuff like that. I'm like, damn, it's just how the changes happen. So it's just like you look at Johnson C. Smith, and you turn that corner. And it's nothing but these big ass homes that look like
that
from
one house that you can see from I-77.
That one. How much is it?
1.2 million.
That's crazy. I never knew how much it was, but I think everybody knows.
Everybody
that,
know that house.
Everybody knows
77.
Yeah,
everybody know that house. And even when you go around that corner, I think one of the homes has sold for. It was a rundown, beat down home right across from the football field.
Oh, they're just gonna knock it down and make something else. But yeah.
Well, they revamped it. Yeah. So I remember, I can't find it on my phone. I remember taking a picture of that, and then I went back and looked when I had went by there, I had to go on campus for something. And I said, see, they already flipped it. Like, they flipped it that fast. I think it was selling for like $365,000. And then when you go down that whole row, all of those, it's crazy how you looking at that. And then you see John C. Smith right there.
It's on Campus Street, which is the back side of Smith. So if you're in Betty's Ford, the next street over is Campus. Mm-hmm. So if I'm standing on campus and I'm looking at the dorm, it's a house that sold for $500,000 on the corner. So literally, like, if they walk off their porch, they're at Smith. Somebody bought the lot for $20K. They put maybe $100,000 on it, built the house. It's not that big. I mean, it might be about 2,000 square feet, maybe a little less. Mm-hmm. It's on probably 0.5 of an acre, if that. They sold $500,000. You literally walk out, and like I said, you're at Smith. But the lot went for 20. So you could literally bought the lot and did whatever you want. Smith should actually own the land, in my opinion, but it's neither here
nor there. That's a whole other conversation.
Neither here nor there. But literally, like, they paid 20 for the lot. The house that after they built the house, they sold it for over $500,000.
And that's why I look at back, like I said, when I look back at A&T, I look at what, like, I remember, like I said, I remember every part of the land that they was buying. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, shoot, they bought this part right here. Oh, shoot. But again, it was just land. Like, all of that was just land. And that's how I look at it when I look at other schools. Mm-hmm. Of course, we just said John C. Smith. Mm-hmm. Of how you did not take advantage of buying all that to build the school a whole lot, you know, build out. That's
on that side of the street. Yeah.
Right, on that side of the street. Now look at it. I got a homeboy that actually went to Fayetteville State with me, a little bit younger than me. Whoever the company he worked for, I think he had saw the video that I had took when we did that walk and talk. He hit me up and he was like, yo, he said, I had no idea that was the, he said, I had no idea till later that was the area that my company had bought. He said it wouldn't make no difference. He said, but just the fact that, like, he said, I knew it was Charlotte. He said, but I wasn't thinking. He said, I wasn't thinking about any of that. He said, all that stuff that you just showed me, he said, stuff that they, you know, that they bought. He said, how, and he asked me, how far is that from John C. Smith? Nigga, they look right at it. Like, it's like, ain't even walking this. Like, you go outside and open your door, it's right there. And he was like, how's that going to look? I don't know. You know, it's going to be weird. It's going to be weird when you see all the, you know, the students just walking through there for whatever reason. And, you know, it's going to look a little funny for a second, but they don't care. Either they're going to move there or they're not. But even if they don't, even if they stay for a little bit, somebody going to come in and get it.
Yeah, they slowly change the area. Like, if you think where Nogrisa is over there, they just built out the plaza. Obviously, it's going to be a lot of development right in that.
In that corridor.
Yeah. So, like I said, it's changing. Obviously, Bojangles got a facelift. Like, in that whole between the expressway and John C. Smith, it looks totally different than it did at the start of the pandemic.
Because of the trolley.
Yep. So, I mean, it's happening. So, like I said, it's at this point, we can take advantage of it or complain about it later. But if you want culture or you want to preserve stuff, you got to be a part of the meetings. You got to, you know, use your money, your dollars, you have it, pool resources together, et cetera. But like I said, the change is happening, right? The 2040 plan is out there. You can Google it. It's podcast on it. Whatever you need to do and find out what's happening or going to happen.
So Tony said something really interesting, right? So a lot of times I think that we as a culture want to be upset with them. They came in and they changed it and they moved us and they
whatever. I already know what you're about to say.
I don't think, well, Tony just said you have to be a part of the meetings, but I don't think anyone is realizing every leader in Charlotte is black. Our city council is black. Mm-hmm. So it's about having money. At the end of the day, all of the decisions that are made are financial decisions. If we revamp this area, we're going to have more tax dollars. So while it is unfortunate, the example that I'm thinking about right now is Second Ward. So if you know what the Aquatic Center is, whatever, I think the area used to be called like Brooklyn or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, the Aquatic Center is right in front of, there's a gymnasium, and it's a sign that says Second Ward Gymnasium. Mm-hmm. It used to be a black booming neighborhood back in the day. Tore it out. They got what they got. I think Marshall Park is right there. Well, a couple of years ago, I remember there was a conversation about them creating a high-rise right there. It's going to be, like, really nice condos and everything. And all of a sudden, it was, that used to be a black neighborhood. Oh, it's not right. Well, guess who got to sign off on it, y'all? Like, the black people that are representing you. they have nothing in this city can happen without their approval.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very ironic that they're short of housing for like what they call affordable housing. And they're going to take the very space where Black Charlotte was historically mm-hmm. and turn into something that's not going to be affordable for those very people. But you can't be upset at them because they look like us.
Power of voting. I mean, that's always going to be a topic of discussion. And I say the same thing all the time. Like, you can't blame the leaders for coming in because, again, there was somebody there before them, you know, that was having those same conversations. They tried to get something done. It probably couldn't because they didn't have the, you know how that goes. You didn't have the money. You didn't have all of those things. So now when you're going uptown or you driving around, it's just that one little block. And like you said, it's a plaque. It's a plaque on the street. So the investments are here. But the question is, how do you get in now? Like at 2021, how do you actually get in now with the plan already being in place? Like where do we look for the ones that are willing to invest? You know, people doing investment groups. Black people got money. Like it's
but they
there.
Don't want to use it for those purposes. You got the Excelsior. Right. Y'all talked about Bates Fort Road. The Excelsior nightclub, it is dilapidated. It's deplorable.
Right.
I see flyers come across my Instagram all the time. Go to this party, go to that party. A group of them could get together and save that.
I know at one point they were trying to make it a landmark. They wanted to make it a landmark, but I don't know what came.
I think it approved for the landmark, but I don't know who's responsible. But somebody mm-hmm. still has to take ownership over that.
You know,
to make
somebody,
it
you know somebody white.
But.
Because if you're looking at, like I said, if you're looking at, when you make it a landmark, what are you going to do with it? It once the changes start happening a block down from Johnson C. Smith.
But think of, where is it? It's the red looking building uptown. So if you come mm-hmm. in to go into the arena, well, I think it's Brevard maybe.
Yeah.
It's the red building, the big flower.
I know you're talking about with the mural up there.
So that one's it's a landmark too, which is why it doesn't look like the rest of uptown.
Right.
So somebody still is responsible for the building, if that makes sense. So I don't know who's responsible for that building at all. You know the building we're talking about?
No.
You know where the Discovery? I think it's Discovery's across the street.
It's on Brevard Street, right. It's on the corner of Brevard.
You know where 7 District is? Yeah.
Oh, you talking about on this side of 7 District?
On this side. No, I'm talking about it's on this side. So it's Brevard. The 7 District is like the block up. So if I'm standing at this, if I'm in 7 District parking lot.
Well, are you on Brevard on the left side?
I know exactly the building that you're talking about. I know the family, they used to have, or they still do have a bail bonding business.
Okay.
I think Polk and Alexander.
Okay, that's on Trey Street.
It is now. Yeah. That's Trey Street where that
bondsman.
Yeah, you know, but that's the building he's talking
about. Okay, that's the building you're talking about.
If I'm standing in the 7 District parking lot, it's the building to the right.
Okay, I got you. My bad. I was on the other side of Brevard. I was over there by.
But that's the only other place that I've seen that's actually a landmark, and that's a standing building. Mm-hmm. And like I said, it's like, why is this? I was like, what is this building? So that's kind of how I got that. But essentially, you can have them, but if somebody still has to do something with it, or it's going to, again, just deteriorate. So you still got to get inside, work on it, or.
Well, that must be the second one. Because like I said, the one that I was thinking about was the one that was actually on the other side of Brevard right before you get to the Embassy Suites.
Okay.
So, you know, if you're going down third, fourth, whatever street it is going.
By the Embassy.
On the opposite side, going away from
closer
uptown.
Closer to the Hampton.
Right.
Yeah, MLK.
Right. So over there, that was a landmark, too, in Studio 229.
I thought that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, 229. Yes. So that is actually a landmark too. And they actually went in there and revamped that one. But I had a party in there last night. But I know somebody. But it's like more so quote unquote like a museum. Like they do have a small little things in there, and I think they're trying to do some stuff. But again, that's cool right now. But I wonder how things are going to look when
next group of leadership come in.
Exactly, because I know they want to try to do something. Well, I ain't gonna say try. Maybe you know. Did they make a decision on the bus depot yet?
I don't think it's voted on yet. It's still in the works.
Cause you know they want to move that, cause it stick out like a sore thumb. Yeah, so
still up to vote.
Right. So when you move that, like, what's going to happen with that right there? Because it's not going to aesthetically, it's not going to be in line with with the other part of Uptown, because the bus depot was one thing, you know, they changed up the Greyhound. You know, the Greyhound, now how it looks, it goes within the look of how they want going towards Gateway and stuff like that. It's crazy. I mean, they doing this shit right in front of your face, right? and you see it, but again, complaining about it really is not going to do no money talks. And
yeah, I mean, like I said, it's pulling resources together, look, going and figuring out what the plan is, and then try to get a couple steps ahead, because if you wait too late, you're going to pay in premium, right? Mm-hmm. But what I do see just in general is Charlotte's going vertical. So it's going to be a lot more townhouses, a lot more condos, because one, obviously a lot more people moving here, and that's what the other cities look like. So I don't know who our model city is, right? But essentially we're following a model of another city, and we're plugging it into Charlotte, and that's kind of what we're embracing here, or what is being embraced. So pick your favorite city and say, hey, this is what I want it to look like, and a certain side of town will look like that.
Right.
Wasn't there a thing last year where they were talking about stopping issuing permits for single-family homes?
Yeah, that was up for a vote.
That was a big thing. Because we don't have multi-units up north.
Yeah, so they wanted it to be actually more multi is what they wanted, mm-hmm. Which I was like, I don't think that's going to do well. In my opinion, I think it was going to have the opposite effect. Because if I'm an investor and I can buy the parcel, I'm just have more investment properties, which means I'm still not going to charge market rate, mm-hmm. right? So that's the problem, too, when you have people necessarily in government who necessarily don't. They have a lot of ideas, but they don't necessarily vet them. Mm-hmm. So they may think, if I tell them to do this, then they'll do this. And it's mm-hmm. the opposite effect. So it doesn't necessarily always help the people they intended to help, mm-hmm. Because most people are looking for loopholes that are investors and things like that.
Makes sense.
They'll find the loophole in that. Oh, yeah, cool. We can do multifamily. No big deal. So if that's going to give us more homeowners, then great. But I don't think that's really what's going to happen if that would have passed.
Yeah, we definitely not built for that in Charlotte. But the River District is on the way. So that should be fun to see how that unfolds.
The River District.
By the Catawba River. It is the last big area of undeveloped land in Charlotte near the airport, like the southwest part of Charlotte.
Isn't that where they're trying to move the train? They're trying to take the train down that way?
That's a part of it, yep.
Now, the thing about the train situation, great idea. It got one little problem with it.
Why, a lot of problems.
The train is not going directly to the airport.
It's the dumbest thing. So that's how we roll. You want to talk about the culture of Charlotte? We love to do stuff and then go undo that shit. Like, okay. Seriously.
No, I can see that.
We love to do something and then go back and be like, you know, we should do it this other way. And it's like, okay, this is not going to work out. Like, for example, right? So they were talking about Greyhound. They moved the train station a long time ago. The train station is over on North Tryon Street, mm-hmm. by WSOC. Mm-hmm. They want to relocate that up, down near all of that area. Like, it was already there once. You moved it. Now you want to put it back. Like, it's just weird. I don't know who in charge, but they probably could put a little more thought into some things.
It's somebody, man. Regardless of whatever your different, whoever has differences with the mayor now, right? A lot of this stuff was already in place before she, you know, before Mayor Lyles even got in place. Like, you really can't blame her.
Definitely.
Like,
it's not her decision, though.
It's not.
That's not her job.
And that's what they're not understanding, because when they talk about, like, when they have these complaints, understand it. Look, Eric, we're all residents and all citizens, so we have our say so in our complaints. But the first things I always hear, affordable housing, and why you letting all these things happen, and they go straight to blaming her. And I'm like, y'all really do not know how this works. Like, the mayor is no different from a president. You know, they are there to make sure, quote unquote, they're supposed to be there to make sure things go the way they need to go. And when it's time to make a decision, okay, yay or nay. But that stuff was already in place. You're talking about the 2040 plan. All of this stuff has been in place before Mayor Lyles even thought about being the mayor. Like, you can't blame her. Half the shit was going on when Mayor Anthony Fox resigned.
Much of it was.
Not resigned, but moved on to doing something else. So it's like, that stuff been in place. He knew all this stuff was going to happen 10 years ago. McCrory, all of them. So it's like, why do you keep trying to blame her for affordable housing and things like that? You ain't got no control over that. And affordable housing, that term affordable housing is a little bit funny to me, because what is that?
It's relative.
Right. Well, what exactly is affordable housing, and who is affordable too? Because if you count every resident that may be in a position to not afford the $300,000-$400,000 homes, right? To me, all of those homes under that is considered to be affordable. But the question is, everybody ain't gonna be able to get in there. So if you have 500 people that need affordable housing,
I think they 40,000 units. I was in I'm a member of the Junior League mm-hmm. here in Charlotte, and I participated in listening to a panel maybe a month ago, mm-hmm. and I want to say that somebody said that it was about a 40,000 unit gap. You can't make up 40,000 units. It's
no, you
never
can't.
Gonna happen.
You're not gonna be able to do that. So that's what I'm saying. So when you use that term, I'm like, bro, you gotta stop using that term because it just doesn't work that way. You know. On top of that, everybody doesn't want to buy, but some actually still want to rent. But how do you go about that?
Yeah. So even to that point, so I was last year. Well, around this time, actually, we had a similar discussion about the housing voucher program, even for like the people who don't even qualify for certain things.
Mm-hmm.
And they had you couldn't even get on the list. Like, it was 10,000 people to need to be cleared on for the list. Like, I think it was made the news where they had opened up an apartment where they were going to take vouchers, essentially, and literally it was wrapped around the corner, and they only think they had 100 people can get in. So they probably had 600 people show up.
Is that the one they did off of Freedom?
Yes. Yeah, so that's exactly what we're talking about. Yeah, but just in general, it was literally, I want to say, like 3,000 to 40,000.
It was a lot of people out there.
30,000, 40,000 people that needed to be on the list, and they have a backlog of 10,000, which means people are not even graduating off the program, which says a lot about economy and mm-hmm. jobs and all the other stuff. So in general, we know Charlotte's debt lasts and economic mobility, right? So if you're born poor in Charlotte, you're going to be poor. That's the stat, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're worst out of all 50 states or cities that they did on the list. So again, it's a lot of changes that need to be made. Hopefully, we can kind of partner with some companies that are coming in to kind of address those gaps. I sit on some panels, and I talk about that a lot. But a lot of people, I feel like, pick the same one or two schools or programs to help, which you're not helping all the kids if you are picking this school. I don't want to name a particular school. But
right.
One school gets all the resources, in my opinion, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's other schools who don't get any help, and the kids are continuing that cycle. So it's a lot of people who can help with all the billion-dollar corporations that are moving to Charlotte that can help and be a part of it. But if they're not directed in that particular way or nobody's advocating for those people, mm-hmm. they're going to be left behind.
Maybe, Gansley, you kind of talked about it, but is there any, like, hidden gems left in Charlotte that maybe some people are not really paying attention to? Or do you think that every place is pretty much mapped out as, oh, shit, it's going to be popping over here later?
Metro Charlotte, not really. I mean, I think right now, what you're going to see is closer to, what's the high school? East Mac area. Mm-hmm. You're seeing a lot of development over there. Like, if you went to high school, East Mac in 2006,
that's Tuckasegee, right?
No.
That's West Mac. East Mac is East Mac Monroe? No, that's North Mac.
Monroe Road.
Okay.
Yeah, near, like, the library.
I get confused.
Yeah, yeah. But you see where they put in, it's Audi's, brand new Audi's over there. They just redeveloped that plaza over there. So that area, it's close enough to Uptown, mm-hmm. but it's not Uptown enough. Though I think you'll see some growth in those areas. A lot of course, old residents, and they actually have nice houses.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll probably see some what we're seeing in the Betty's Ford area happening over there as well. Just based on, again, the shopping district that they put in there. I think it's a, what's Rick Ross Wing Company called?
Hmm?
What's Rick Ross Wing Company?
Wingstop.
Wingstop. They got a Wingstop over there. It's a credit union, the Spanish Latin. I think it's Latin credit union. They have one of those over there. So, again, they have a lot of the eat work things over there. They don't mm-hmm. necessarily play yet, but they have a lot of things over there. Of course, there's like four or five schools in that area. So, mm-hmm. I think we'll see some more growth in that area. Plus, if you go, I don't know, 5 minutes past it, you almost into where you have really expensive housing, right? Because mm-hmm. you're on Rama Road and Sardis, et cetera, et cetera. So, they still have some development opportunities in there.
Right.
But like I said, it's timing it, which is tough, right?
I heard Monroe was about to be popping. Like the city of Monroe. Y'all, I remember when Waxaw was like, who wants to live out there? Ew.
It's like, oh, no, nah, you're right.
Popping.
You're correct. I go that way to Fayetteville, and I just be out here like, and I will slow down and stop and like, oh, I call my home, I say, yo, have you been up? Have you seen over here yet? And my one of my good friends stays in Stallings now. But it's just crazy looking at the whole area because we talk about that all the time. Hell, shit, we even in Wingate now. Because it's like, you know, it's going to get to that point where it's going to get out that far. And that's why I think about, and I use Atlanta as an example because when I think of it, because when I think of Atlanta, people say, yo, where you live at? I live in Atlanta. Okay, exactly. Where do you live at? Oh, I live in
a whole different city.
I live in Stillville. Or I live, you know, I live in Douglasville. Like, you live in a whole different city. Yeah, you live in all these places. Jones, all these places. Like, and I think that's how Charlotte is about to be because at one point, like you said, who want to live in Waxhaw? Who want to live in Waxhaw, Weddington, all these other places? Now it's to the point, okay, Matthews.
It's going to spill all the way, like, to Rock Hill because, like, the Panthers got their practice facility.
Oh, it's already popped. It's already there. It's already there. Because people would not – I used to work at Fort Mill, and even then, you know, it's crazy. You will meet a lot of people who have never been to Charlotte. Like, I'm like, hold on, you ain't never been to Charlotte? And Charlotte is right there. Like, nah, I just never really cared to go. They may have went through it, but as far as, like, having any type of, you know, living in Charlotte or going to Charlotte or friends in Charlotte, nah, they just stay out there. So it's always Richland, Lancaster. I got to say that right here because it's Lancaster, South Carolina, not Lancaster. Don't get it. But anyway, you know, you got those areas, Rock Hill and, you know, things, Antigua Cay and stuff like that. But I remember when shit out there.
Yeah. To that point, though, I've seen a house. No, it's a townhouse, actually. It's selling for 2019, 2018 Uptown prices. That's what their townhouses are selling for now. It was a townhouse, about 2,300 square feet, roughly, mm-hmm. three bath, whatever. So for like 370.
Yeah.
In the last 6 weeks, which we're talking about Clover, South Carolina. Like, again, it's happening. So like I said, Rock Hill is late for Rock Hill, unless you go into downtown Rock Hill area where it still needs some development, basically. But it's happening already.
Mm-hmm.
So
Denver.
And anything close to a lake is going to explode anyway, just because, again, naturally people want more land and technically more land right now. But there's no pretty much anywhere you buy, if you buy correctly, you should be in a good end from an equity standpoint.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Tony, I'm a first time home buyer. I want to buy a house for $200,000. Where can I move?
To what?
Y'all hear that?
To what?
Nah, you should have saw his
face. No, I'm for real. Like,
hey, people, he said, to what?
Mm. The inventory right now is just, again, it's less than a month of inventory, just in general. This is all levels. When I look at the list, and I run a list almost every day, the majority of houses right now are 350 and above, the majority of houses. So that means if you're in a $200,000 market or below, it may be 5 to 6 houses.
So you mean to tell me I can't keep my $800 a month rent and buy a house?
You can, but again, you're competing with a lot of other people for those 8 houses. So
8.
That's beginning. And then once you get it, you probably gonna have to do some renovations to it because it's not gonna look, again, like that shiny object we talked about before. So the question is,
I can't what get is that 5 bedrooms?
I mean, you can. I don't know if it's gonna be in that package that you wanted. So we're gonna have to look at some, you know, more creative things.
Oh no. What would I ever do? Not that serious, though.
For real.
All that development stuff, it circles right back to housing prices. Like, it's not going to – if you're out there and you're listening and you want to purchase a home, like, all of these things, they all fold into being able to purchase a house. The economic development that's happening throughout Charlotte and the surrounding areas is going to impact how much house you can buy. And it is unfortunate, but – some people will never purchase a home, period. And I know it's not the cool thing to say, but it is reality. If, like, I don't know if I could purchase a home if I lived in New York. You know, there's some areas that you just flat out can't do it, and Charlotte is turning into that place. And I believe we passed that point at this point.
Yeah, I mean, again, if you're in that price range, you definitely have to look outside of Center City, Charlotte. You're definitely going to be a little further out. So, I mean, it's possible, but again, you can't say, I want to live in Pleasant Midwood. That's unrealistic, right? So, certain places you cannot live for that amount. But again, the inventory is really low. It's just like I said, it's less than 30 days of inventory total, like total. So, not just in any price range, but again, the lower your price range, the less inventory, which means there's more competition. And competition means it's going to be, again, you talked about your friend earlier who had 10 offers and they just kind of got tired. I mean, that's, you got to stay with it, as they say, see it through, my boy. Like, that's a real thing because, again, it's a process. So as a realtor, I try to, again, have those discussions up front so you kind of know what you're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can kind of readjust your mind because, again, everybody has this thought process like, oh, I can get a 5-bedroom house. I'm like, okay, well, let me show you what that budget gives you, right? And let's see what we want to do from there. But like I said, it's definitely, if you're in the market or want to be in the market, have those tough discussions. Talk to me, talk to Joy, right? And at least so you can understand what's going on and then you can navigate accordingly.
Y'all hear that, people? Look, again, we cannot discourage you from applying. You know, you can always apply, things like that. But hey, good luck. Like you said, he didn't have to have that tough conversation with me. I figured it out on my own. I figured it out quick. Just me being prepared. You know, I was prepared for everything. I said, okay, either it's gonna work out this way, or it's not gonna work out that way. But
you were really prepared. But again, the first house we said, we just gonna look at it.
Oh yeah. Oh god.
It's like, hey, we're just gonna look at this one. Don't expect to put an offer in. I literally told you that.
Yeah,
right?
Oh yeah.
We walked in. Okay. And then from there we literally started to now frame that discussion.
Yeah. And it was at that discussion that made me say, okay, this ain't gonna be what I.
You gotta see it to believe it.
Yeah. That was smart on his part. Cause like I said, when we went there, looked at that spot, I was like, I'm curious. Who, you know, somebody bought that spot.
Oh yeah, some, had a lot of offers on it.
Some LLC bought it. You know, but they could do a lot with that home.
But it's not even like you got the Zillows buying up all of the houses too. But you got regular schmegler people.
I didn't believe that to be true until somebody had mentioned that, and I did some research on
what,
that.
Zillow?
To that point where like now, like, hold on, Zillow buying like that, but I could see it. That's crazy. That's just crazy, man. It's bad that, you know, some people just cannot get to that point now to have that dream, you know, have that dream of raising a family.
I feel like legislation got to step in.
Well, so that's the.
I feel like they got to step in because it's not.
They
got to
be. They got to be a cap
even
somewhere.
When you're running a comps, I don't think that it's fair for me to have to compete with a $1 billion entity. You know what I mean? Like, if you, because I saw this thing was going around on TikTok. It was a guy basically explained the concept of Zillow. They buy 30 houses that say $300,000, and then on the 31st house, they decide that they're gonna bump it up to 340. Now they set a new comp for the whole area. So they're running the show. That's not fair.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm a regular person.
But you know why legislation won't jump in, right?
No, I don't know.
I
still think that's not fair.
Or they own the LLC.
I don't know. I feel like it has to be some law. Something has to be established because it's not fair.
No, I totally,
to a regular person.
I totally agree with you. But like as Tony was stating earlier about loopholes and all these other things, hell, you know, some of these legislations probably got LLCs out there. And you go, and if you dig deep enough, their name is somewhere out
they're
there.
They're making money, too.
They're making money, too, man. It's just no different. Lobbyists and things like that. They're all making that type of money.
But, again, we talked about Atlanta a little bit ago. The reason why Atlanta never really shut down is because they needed stuff to happen. Real estate, every time a real estate deal closed, the city of Atlanta got a check. Like, they need business to flow. So it happens because everybody get paid when it happens. Like, a market crash is bad for everybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same reason why we have bailouts and things like that. So, again, it's that's just the direction we're going. So it's how do you be a part of it? That's really the question you have to ask yourself, because you can complain about it, but that doesn't really do anything. So how can you be a part of it? That's really the focus that you have to have. To that point, though, I was going to say, you have developers now building rent communities. They've been making brand new houses.
So
you can rent. So
and the rent ain't cheap.
Some national builders are literally brand new houses, but yeah. they want, again, long-term renters. They know some, as she said, some people are not going to own, but they don't. I mean, they can't have a nice house or a nice place to live. So they're literally building houses as a builder, and they're making them rentals, like whole communities.
So instead of apartments, you can go through and that's interesting.
That's happening literally in Charlotte.
It's actually smart. I mean, from a
I can't think of the street, but yeah, it's happening.
It sucks, but it's a smart business decision. Like, okay, you know, people still got to have somewhere to live.
So many times I get phone calls from people and they're like, well, what if the market crashes? What if it goes down? There's so many reasons why that is not going to happen. If it was going to happen, it would have happened last year.
It would have happened in the pandemic. But I don't even think
it would have happened last year.
It never crashed. It just went up and just had you had certain areas where it was like, all right, we're gonna pull back a little. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it just defaulted or it just went straight to the ground. And I'm just talking from a major business standpoint. Unfortunately, small business, a lot of small businesses took a hit, you know, and the epicenter. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? Like, when you look at those things, it's just like, I don't know. I just want to have that conversation, man. I just think we talk about it all the time, and I just wanted to hear from two individuals that, you know, kind of need, you know, kind of knee deep in it, you know, kind of knee deep into it. And y'all see those reports and you see exactly what's going on. So hopefully they enjoyed this conversation as well as I did. Let everybody know. Well, I appreciate this conversation, y'all. Thank you for having us. We were supposed to do this a while ago, but, you know, circumstances happen. So thank you for coming in and talking to Who Got Next about this. Joy, do you want to let people know where they can find you? The Mortgage Boss.
Yes, I'm on Instagram, the_mortgage_boss, BAWSE.
Okay. Oh, before I go to Tony, I'm sorry. Please follow her. She does these discussions. I want it. Boss Talk Tuesdays?
Mortgage Boss Talk Tuesday.
Mortgage Boss Talk Tuesday. I apologize.
Talk to you about how to buy a house. Just basic information, 10, 15 minutes at a time, bite-sized increment, so you know before you call.
Right. So make sure you all follow her to listen to that, because she does give you all some great information before you even make that decision. Check her out. And Tony, let everybody know where they can find you at, bro.
I would just say, too, definitely follow Joy. She has a lot of good information. And just in general, it's important to don't tell yourself you can't get a house to talk to the professionals, because they can make sure that you can or can't, or tell you what you need to do so you can get ready. Mm-hmm. But don't make the decision on your own, right? Just get all the facts. It's like if your car was obviously something, your orange light coming on your car, you don't know what it is, you can go say, hey, what's this light? Mm-hmm. They can tell, oh, you need this, right? So it's that same situation. You want to diagnose the situation, figure out when you can get it or when it's possible, right? So definitely, like I said, check out Joy page, check out my page as well on Instagram, @yourownkeys. You can hit me up also, email tony@yourownkeys.com. And again, I'm really here to help people to get in houses and to educate you on the process more so than anything, because I think education is power, and the more you know, the easier it is to navigate this crazy world we're in. So,
No doubt. Look, people, don't get out there and WebMD your shit, like everything else, like your own health. Like, these people are here for a reason. You know what I'm saying? They're here because they got the information, they got the knowledge, and they got everything you need to do to make the right decision for your future, you know, pretty much. All right, so this is E-Dub. Thank you for tuning in to the Who Got Next podcast. Look, I promise you I'm not going to try to take a longer break that I've been doing, but circumstances happen. I'm pretty consistent with the show, but and life shit happened, man, in the past month or two. And just things just got out of whack, man. So I am finishing up this volume, and then we are going to be moving on to volume 8, man. So be checking out a few other recordings that I have to round out, you know, volume 7. Again, this is E-Dub. You can catch me on Instagram at @whogotnext_CLT. If you have any questions, comments, feedback, good, bad, indifferent, ugly, hit me up on my email. My email is whogotnextclt@gmail.com. And as I always state, if you out there doing some dope shit, trust me, I'm going to find it. And when I find it, you and I are both going to sit down and talk about what you got going on next. All right? Peace.